All right. This is Oren Solomon here today, this Tuesday morning, talking about multiple streams of income here in the Baltimore area. Guys, in this day and time, in this economy that we're in, very important that we have multiple streams of income. In fact, I consider it fiscally irresponsible to not have another stream of income coming in. The economy isn't as great. It hasn't recovered the way that we all thought it would. And so we really do recognize the importance of having another stream of income. Now, growing up with my parents, they've always had one job or two jobs, and they can pay their bills and that kind of thing. But because of the way life is now, super duper duper important to have another stream of income coming in. So what are some of the things that you can do to create another stream of income? Well, you know, you can obviously start a business. And some would probably think that, starting a business may cost a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You can start a small business. I know people that, you know, they cut lawns on the side. You know, if you can get a lawnmower, there are people that, they clean houses. It's a great side business to have. A lot of people, that's a service that a lot of people need. And there are all different types of business that you can start. You can also start a home-based business. You know, there are a ton of home-based businesses out there that you can start. A lot of people advertise in the newspapers and in magazines and, you know, starting businesses. So if you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of finances, you don't have a lot of money, man, you can be really creative. I know people who they sell clothing, they sell pocketbooks, they do all types of things. I've seen kids that set up lemonade stands, especially here in the summertime. So there's a great opportunity for you to have multiple streams of income. And what that does, it really hedges you. So if something happens at the job, something goes wrong, you lose your paycheck, you lose your income, someone gets fired, you got a backup plan. Very, very, very important these particular times. So a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk about, you know, the home-based business arena. That is an arena I chose to participate in because, number one, there's low to no overhead. You know, you can start a home-based business for a couple hundred dollars, and basically you're going to people you know, and you can exchange goods and services at a discounted price. And it's good because the consumer is getting a deal. They're saving money on the services that you're using. They're using these particular services, and you, as an entrepreneur, you're creating an income for yourself. And I've seen some home-based businesses that can turn people's part-time incomes into full-time incomes. I've seen it happen many, 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 many times. And there's a lot of different companies and opportunities out there. But something that I think we should strongly consider in this particular time. So a couple things I read here. I was looking at the U.S. News and World Report, and it said the title is The 10 Reasons Why We Should Have Multiple Streams of Income. And the first reason why they said that was rising health care costs. You know, as we get older, as our parents and the baby boomers get older, it costs money for health care. You know, we have ailments, you know, illnesses in our community. You know, we deal with diabetes and all different types of things. And that stuff costs money. And if you're on a fixed income, it's very difficult to take care of your health care cost. Obviously, if you have another stream of income, you can help take the hit, you know, with regards to healthcare costs. So very, very important. Another reason why it's important to have multiple streams of income is unemployment. And I mentioned that earlier. You know, again, most companies in America are downsized. So when they're outsourcing and sending the jobs overseas, you know, the workforce is not what it used to be. So, you know, when unemployment hits, you know, it hurts a lot of people. So if you have another stream of income, well, someone's calling me. Okay. All right. All right. Let me hang on a second. Someone's on the line here. Let me see if I can get some help with the phones. Okay. Am I on? Okay. Who's on the line? Hello, caller. Hang on 1 second. We'll make sure to get you on here. Okay, caller.
Oh, yes. How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
All right. My name is Charles.
Hi, Charles. How you doing?
All right. And I hear what you're saying about the additional streams of income. And I want people to really rack their brains because we are 10 to 20 years behind the curve with that type of talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the stuff that we said 10, 20 years ago. Right now, you know, because we have matured, we need to be forming corporations. We need to be building the businesses that we look up to, you know, because all too often, you know, we continue to do small things and we got Latinos and everybody else
mm-hmm.
coming and taking over those positions. You know, they're undocumented workers, so they say, hey, we can do the same thing that black people are doing, cut grass and sell snowballs and all that stuff. But we need to be doing smarter, more mature things, like starting corporations. See, we have a history of organizations, of grassroots organizations and different organizations. But why are we not forming corporations? If we have so much money in the black community, why are we not doing what Donald Trump did by himself?
Mm-hmm. Charles, I agree with you.
They didn't believe in Donald Trump, and Donald Trump believed in himself, and he showed them what was possible. So imagine if you had 100 people with that same mindset. And people are always crying that they have that mindset. I can't get funding. I need this. I need help. But when you put those people together to start a corporation, can you explain to them how beautiful that would be, how lucrative that would be?
No doubt about it. Charles, I couldn't have said it any better, my friend. You know, this country was built on capitalism. It was built on entrepreneurship. And there are certain people or communities that figured it out and they start businesses and corporations. And there's some of us that just that we're behind the eight ball. And Charles, man, he hit it right on the head. If, you know, if we could just take the time to start companies and corporations and power our people, man, you know, the tax laws in this country are geared towards business owners. You get better tax breaks when you own a business. You get the advantages. So it only makes sense to do that. But Charles, that's something that we definitely have to teach in our communities. And that's why we have this show. This is about awareness. This is about letting people know what's out there, why they need to hedge and own businesses and set themselves up just in case something happens. Because you can't rely on one job anymore. You can't rely on the government anymore. You got to rely on yourself. So, Charles, thank you so much. If there's anything else you want to add?
How long does it take to build a successful corporation?
That's a great question. You know, I can speak from my personal experience. You obviously, I tell people you want to give yourself 2 to 5 years. Most businesses aren't profitable within the first 2 to 5 years. That's why it's good that if you have a job, if you have a stable income and you can start something on the side, you can give yourself 2 years to 2 to 5 years to grow it. And then once you get to a point where you're profitable, then you could decide whether you want to do it full throttle or keep your full-time career and also run your business as well. But I think the census is usually 2 to 5 years, but I've seen people do it a lot faster than that. And I've seen people take a lot longer as well. The bottom line is you got to have another stream of income.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right, Charles. Take care, buddy. Have a good day. Okay, I'm going to continue here with the U.S. News and World Report with regards to the 10 reasons why we should have multiple streams of income. So I talked about unemployment. So obviously when unemployment hits, you know, families get devastated. If you don't have money coming in, most families are 2 to 3 or 4 months away from going bankrupt because most of us live paycheck to paycheck. But if you have another stream of income coming in, then it can kind of hedge yourself. All right. Also, you know, unemployment. They don't pay unemployment the way they used to as well. So, you know, I'm pleading and imploring with everybody that's listening to me today. It's very important that you do that. Also, another reason why you should have another stream of income is you can help pay for college. So some of you have children that are probably bright students or grandchildren that are bright students, and maybe because we didn't plan properly, you know, we can't afford to send them to the school they really want to go to. And that's a sad state, because we have a lot of talented people in our community, a lot of gifted people who, for no fault of their own, they can't get the education that they really deserve. And again, having another stream of income really helped with that. I know for me, I was fortunate. I didn't have to pay for school. I got a scholarship, but I had a lot of friends who were a lot more talented than I was academically. But because their parents couldn't afford it, they were forced to work a job or, you know, be less than what they really could be. So, again, the message here is we don't care what you do. Find something to do on top of what you're already doing so you can help pay for these kids' schools. Another thing, a reason why we should have multiple streams of income is one of the things they talked about is living within your means. Now, what do we actually mean by that? You know, you either, you know, when you retire, you're either forced to spend money or you have a choice to either make more money. Okay. So most people, when they retire in their jobs, they're now getting 50 or 60% of the income that they were getting that they couldn't live off in the first place. So, you know, when you have another stream of income and you're retired, you can help hedge that thing and continue the same lifestyle that you have. In fact, many people that I know that after they retire, they end up having to go back and get another job. You know, you see them working at Walmart and doing those types of things. So another important reason to have another stream of income. Another reason why they said to have another stream of income is to pay down debt. Debt is probably one of the worst things that hurts people in our community financially. It is a very tough thing to get over. Because, you know, look, when you buy a house, you have debt. When you buy a car and you're paying a note, you got debt. When you got student loans, you got debt. And if you don't have money coming in to pay those debts, I mean, it could be debilitating. I mean, I've been in the situations where I'm paying back money. And, you know, when I get my check, all my money goes to bills. And that's pretty much it. And, I pay my bills. I'm fine, but I have no quality of life. So another major reason to have another stream of income is you can pay down your debt. You know, what would it be like for you to be debt free, to not have a car payment, not have a house payment, not owe anybody and be free and have money coming in so you can do the things you really want to do? All right. And, you know, for me, I wasn't trying to get rich. I just wanted to be free. And so that should be a model that we have in our community, just being debt free, not owing anybody anything. And you can do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Also, another thing that the U.S. News and World Report talked about was building a holiday fund, meaning just having money to, you know, buy Christmas gifts or buy presents or just do nice things for people just because. And a lot of times, you know, if you don't have another stream of income or if money's tight, we can't do the nicer things. You know, how about being able to, you know, give your kid or grandkid whatever he or she wants for Christmas? Something as simple as that is a reason why we should have multiple streams of income. Now, I'm knowing I'm beating a dead horse here, but guys, look, you know, I've been around this world a little while. And I've met some very successful people. And some of the things that they've told me is it is important to have multiple businesses or multiple streams of income, because if something goes wrong one place, you're taken care of in another place. So we're going to take a quick break here, if that's okay. And we'll come back. I'll go through some more of this U.S. World News Report. And feel free to call in if you'd like, because I'd love to have a conversation with you. With regards to multiple streams of income, if you guys have a story you want to share of you starting a business on top of your job. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear people doing well in the community. Or if you have any suggestions or you need any suggestions, give us a call here. We would love to talk to you and share with you some things that people are doing just to help you ease some of the things that are happening in this particular time in this economy. So can we go ahead and take a break?
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition.
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day,
even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
Today, my new son and I threw a barbecue.
There were burgers and chicken.
I burnt everything. The burgers, the chicken, the salad.
They were delicious.
They were awful.
And then we had watermelon.
I'm allergic to watermelon.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. Mrs. Wakeham's window. Mrs. Wakeham's windshield. And then, somehow, my hand. My hand!
And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right! It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors or advertisers.
All righty, welcome back to the show. We've got a couple callers on the line, so why don't we go ahead and take the calls here. Go ahead. Is it Hanana?
It's Will Hanna.
Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm doing well. How's it going, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good. I wanted to actually share a story. I'm glad you were actually on this topic and pretty much dead on with what I need to establish, particularly in our community, African-American businesses. Mm-hmm. For those, there are a lot of people that know a lot of the business that we've done over the years. In Park Heights, as I currently serve as the president and CEO of the New Park Heights Community Development Corporation. What a lot of people don't know is that I've been in business for the past 20 years as the national director for the Hanna Marketing Group.
Excellent.
Which has allowed us to be able to do that. And when you talk about creating multiple streams of income, we have built a business over the last 20 years in six different cities, not only doing marketing, but sports and entertainment, athlete management, artist management, digital billboards, naming rights agreements, you name it. And now we just launched our capital group in March. So now we provide funding for real estate development projects. And now August 1st, we launched our travel company.
Outstanding.
So it is very important that people look at when I tell people that we started this 20 years ago, but at the time I had another job. I was working for the federal government at the time and started my business at the same time. And then once my income came up to meet what I was making in salary, I knew I could walk away comfortably. So I think one of the things that I would tell people in building businesses is that don't just jump out there and do it. Do all your due diligence, do your research, do your homework, and establish your own timeline. And also set yourself some parameters and some deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you set some benchmarks,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you cross this plateau and you cross this plateau, and then now you're able to move forward with your business. And I think the biggest accomplishment that we've had is now in the state of Maryland, we created the first affordable housing community land trust and a real estate investment trust that now has $50 million in assets and stock and assets. So
love to hear that. Love
it. It is a great thing. And I'm a Baltimore guy. I grew up in the neighborhoods in Baltimore, from Murphy Homes to Lexington Terrace to Park Heights. So if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Will, can you stay on with me here real quick, because you are a true success story. But to the average person listening to you right now, they probably cannot fathom being where you are right now. So if you could take a minute, just share with everyone exactly where you started and how long did it take you to quit your job? How long did it take you to stop doing what you're doing to really get in full throttle with all your entrepreneur endeavors?
Well, we started, I was at the time, I was working for the federal government in 94, and even at the time I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I started in 94. And it probably took up until we started making some real revenue, probably around the six-year mark. And then in 2004, I was able to walk away from my job. So it literally took about 10 years.
Wow.
For us to really get to the point where, we had a different business model, but at the same time, you know, it was always with the goal of how do we help the most people, and how do we, you know, when you have a business that is goal-oriented and fixated on helping people, then money comes. The money will come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I tell people all the time, I say, if you have a passion, take that passion and wrap a business around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you won't let it fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's your passion. It becomes your heart. It becomes your heart and soul. And you won't let it fail. The paperwork is a lot of times what holds people back.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting the paperwork done, filing their documents with the state and making sure they keep all the receipts and accounting and all. Those things are what hold a lot of people. And then sometimes there's just the fear of jumping out and saying, I'm going to start this business. And it's really not as hard as people think. When you start a corporation, it literally costs you about $200 to file your documents with the state. And once you file your documents with the state of Maryland, you now have a business. Now, then you have to have a marketing plan for that business. And I think that's the other part that we don't capture, is the marketing plan for who you're going to reach. Who is your target audience?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you trying to reach? And who are you trying to help? You know, so and it can be two different answers to that question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are things that I would always advise people is know your market, get to know your market very well, you know, and do something that you're passionate about.
Beautiful. Man, we really appreciate you calling in, and I hope y'all heard what he said. You have to be patient. It took him 10 years to leave his job, but I'm sure he agrees that it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it at this point. It is definitely worth it, and we're excited. I think the first 10 years were basically laying the foundation, but the last 10 years have been beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Will. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good
Absolutely.
One. You Take too. Care now. We got Gene here online. Gene? We got Gene?
I'm on. You hear me?
Yep. Hey, Gene, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I'm going to piggyback on some of the things the other gentleman was saying.
Mm-hmm.
basically, I've always worked. I used to work for the Bank of Baltimore in their business development department.
Mm-hmm.
And so working with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and large businesses, I learned business
mm-hmm.
and how people, you know, work and have jobs. And like you say, you know, they you grow those jobs into, you know, second incomes, additional incomes, and primary incomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was, the first thing I did was I borrowed $1,000 from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the late 70s, 80s, I bought a, you know, the portable VCR
mm-hmm.
and camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who was a photographer, so we partnered up and we did weddings.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I started doing, you know, videotaping people's weddings.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first side business on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd take my nephew out and he would, you know, we'd put the thing together and go to, you know, whatever, do the weddings. And then, you know, and back then, you know, you had to edit with the camera and so forth. It had to, you know, the editing software. So, you know, make a long story short, I did that while I was working, and I made as much money doing that until technology caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, cameras got smaller and cheaper
mm-hmm.
and so forth and so on. Everybody could, you know, basically do it yourself. But you have to look into the future also and say, well, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, how can I, you know, how can I take the money that I made with this and what am I going to do next? And then what I did was I always had a passion for, you know, art.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the 80s, late 80s, you know, when the economy was booming, people had additional income. So I taught myself, I had a, one of my accounts was a framing business, had a couple of framing businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in the back room and talked to the guys who did the framing, and then they showed me how to cut mats and so forth and so on. And then I went to the glass companies down in South Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
There was a frame factory down there. And so, and they had a retail store there, so I could go up to the retail store with their seconds and stuff and buy stuff, get it recut, and, you know, order new frames and so forth and so on. So, you know, I kept mm-hmm. my overhead low,
mm-hmm.
and I made a segment of my basement into a framing shop, and I, you know, minimum overhead, so, you know, my profit was large.
Excellent.
It was pretty good. You know, so you have to, you know, be a little creative and just look for a niche.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was, you know, make a long story short, I'm blind now. I lost my vision.
Sorry to hear that.
And so I had to go, well, you know, life is life.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go through training. I went to the VA, and then I went to on Argonne Drive, the they have a blind rehab center over there. So I went through that, qualified for a program, the Blind Vendors, which is a part of the Department of Education. And you've probably been in a federal building where they have a cafeteria, or they might have a store in there that sells dry goods and so forth,
mm-hmm.
run by blind vendors. I was part of that program. So I went to Anne Arundel Community College cooking school, culinary
wow.
school. So, you know, I learned how to run a restaurant. So I had a restaurant for 6 years.
And, love it.
You know, so it's there are many things that you can do. You just have to, like you say, you want to do it. Then the other guy, he hit on some things about the paperwork and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like this. Whatever you learn in life is going to serve you in life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that you're not learning right now, which when you have a business is not going to be, you know, it's going to be something that's going to, that you're going to use in that.
Amen, man.
So in the military, you know, I was a 702, which is an administrative clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated from Morgan, blah, blah, blah. But I was, you know, going to teach, and I wound up working for a bank. And every skill I worked there, I had Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheets. So when I ran my business after I went blind, everything I did was automated.
Mm-hmm.
So I could track, you know, all my numbers, do my taxes, and so forth and so on. So, you know, whether you're sighted or blind,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing. There's nothing you can't do if you want to do it.
Yeah.
Now the other thing, he said something about marketing every mm-hmm. Sunday, and I should give a plug to another station, WEAA. I think their brother's name is Omar Epps.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a program, a marketing program, free. And he has different guests on it every Sunday. I think he comes on at 9 o'clock. And they go over the different marketing strategies. They talk about internet, setting up websites, applications on phones. And all these people out there who have these businesses that come on and give you the information. So it's no information that you can't get.
Wow.
The other thing, on YouTube, if someone throw YouTube out there,
mm-hmm.
anything that I'm curious about and want to know about, from making wine
mm-hmm.
to making soap, you go on YouTube, they got a video and somebody will teach you how to do it.
That's true.
So,
that's so,
you know,
true.
There are many businesses that if you're curious about it and it pops into your brain, Google it, go on YouTube, and research it. That's a real simple way of doing it, so you can get some background information.
Gene, you are very inspiring, man, because a lot of people would use being blind as an excuse why not to pursue something.
A lot of people use a lot of things as excuses.
You better believe it. And you use it as a reason why.
Yeah.
I want to reiterate or just kind of backtrack around what you talked about, because a lot of people don't think like what you thought about. You borrowed the money from your dad to start your business.
Yep, and paid it back.
How about that?
I want to say that's another thing. If you borrow it, pay it back.
Mm.
That's credit. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You've got to establish credit, whether it's with family or whoever, because the next time, if you need it the next time, you can go to them.
Excellent.
And they and in return, you'll be surprised. They're going to come to you later on, and they're going to be borrowing money from you. Make sure they pay you back. You know what I mean? Or get some collateral, 50 cents on the dollar. Let them put up collateral. Don't just, you know, because I've been, whatever, you know, had bad experiences too.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn. Continue to learn. I'm 67 now, and I give you were talking about school and education.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son is 20. He's mm-hmm. working for Comcast now, but he started out as he was a security guard at 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he was arresting people for stealing in the stores or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
he learned responsibility.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to go to college. So I said, well, you got to have to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a job. And amazingly, I'll say, what the heck are you going to do in a store locking people up? I said, do you have any idea what you're about to get yourself into? And he was confident that he could do it because he had to have experience. I said, well, what experience did you use? And he said he was a safety patrol when he was in junior high school.
How about that?
I said, well, that's the same mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I was just so proud of him for relating that, being able to translate that into a job skill.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it. He did that for a while. And then he networked, and he got a job at Comcast. And he has, you know, all the benefits, tuition reimbursement, the 401k and everything.
Wow.
So he could pay for his education. First of all, he could work.
Mm-hmm.
He could pay for his education, and he doesn't have to go into debt.
Yeah.
Getting student loans and so forth to do it. So they have
mm-hmm.
a way of doing everything.
You know? No doubt about it, man.
I appreciate you.
Man, we appreciate your story. I love to hear success stories like that, multiple streams of income. No excuses, Gene. Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it. All right. We've got Patricia on hold here. Patricia, are you on?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am super fantastic. I just want to reiterate everything that was being said on the call today. The main thing about this multiple streams of income that you're talking about, I was a product of that, because all I wanted to do was what I wanted to do. I used to own a small catering company years ago, and till I met some phenomenal people out there, introduced me to multi-level marketing. Multi-level marketing has definitely changed my lifestyle tremendously. Met a lot of great people down the line, a lot of successful people who were way more successful than I am. And the main thing about this, there's no level of speed in any type of business in what we're doing. It's just something that we all must follow. We must follow somebody or something somewhere in life, because if we continue to do what we're doing year after year, it shows that it's not working. We must put our hands in something that can give us some personal growth and give us some money and different things to where we can bend a different mindset, a massive income to come in for our families. Because majority of the time, you know, going to work and getting paid and going to work and getting paid, that doesn't always do it, as you were saying earlier. You know, we have to find a way to where we can be debt-free of all of our bills, our car payments, and all of the school Sally Mae loans and stuff that we have out here for our children and our loved ones that we're doing. And the main thing is, you got to fall in love with the process of doing something different, just like the gentleman said earlier. But the main thing about this, you know, there's no excuses for anyone. I had 4 brain surgeries, so no one should have an excuse of doing something different for themselves. What if I wouldn't have never taken that chance to do something different, then my lifestyle would have still been the same way that it was 4.5 years ago.
Mm.
But I'm grateful that I changed my mindset of thinking, oh, I'm sick, I'm stuck at this point, but I made a difference in myself to do something different. And the most part about that I appreciate about multi-level marketing and the people that I interact with and work with, you have to have long-term thinking, not right now. When you go to work today or tomorrow, you start a job today or tomorrow, you don't expect to get paid today because you started yesterday, would you? So you got to put some time in. You would never be nothing as an SVP in your own company. You're continuing to allow someone else to be your SVP. So you need to really get in a vehicle and start driving it. As Mr. Owen Solomon had said, you got to give yourself a chance at least 2 to 5 years. The gentleman said it took him 8 to 10 years, and the last 2 years have been gravy. So just imagine you giving yourself a chance to become the SVP that you're going to be and your family needs to be. But the main thing that I really want to talk about, as I said, you got to fall in love with the process and you got to be forced to do something different. Come out of your element. Do what others won't do. If you cannot treat your journey like a game, because guess what? Life is a game, whether we believe it or not. It's a total game. And my main thing is, what game are you going to play? Your game or the SVP that you're working for?
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, Patricia. And definitely, multi-level marketing is a great industry to be in. I've been in that industry for 21 years. It's created a lot of millionaires. We got one more caller here before we're done. Diane, are you on the line?
How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm blessed. You know what? I just turned you on. I never heard you before.
Okay.
But I like what you are saying because okay. I have been too many jobs now.
Mm-hmm.
My first real good job was with Housing Authority, and they laid us off in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, when the market crashed, and then I was having a hard time. I had got a job, but my doctor didn't want me to lift people because of my knees, so
mm-hmm.
I stopped that job. So in the meantime, I went to school and everything. Then I ran out of money. So I couldn't get my degree. I'm like a year away from my degree. But
mm-hmm.
then in the meantime, I picked up a job at Baltimore County Public Schools doing one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And I like working with children. I heard you said about your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get your information before you leave the station.
Sure, no problem.
And so you can help me because I know my girlfriend been telling me about an LLC, and I want to know more about that because, you know, she said if you like, you have different passions, you know, you can put all that under one LLC, you know.
You got it.
And so.
Yeah, here's what I'll do. Let me just make sure it's okay. I'm gonna leave my number with you.
Okay.
301.
Okay.
793-8565.
8565.
Yeah, you can call anytime after 1 p.m.
And what's your name? I'm sorry.
Orin,
O-R-I-N. O-R...
I-N. Orin. Orin Solomon.
Solomon. Okay. Because, I mean, they had to have been God. They had,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they had you for me to listen. Because I was like, I was a great turn to turn. Thing. I was like, wait a minute, let me listen to that. He was like, people been telling me this, so I know it had to have been God.
Mm-hmm.
People have been telling me for a couple of months, you got to have a multiple stream of income.
That's right.
And I just told the guy in their cabin that worked there in City Hall. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're right, you got to have a couple of jobs, you know.
You're right about that, Diane. Yep. So it can only help you. It can't hurt you.
Right.
All right. Well, you enjoy yourself. Look forward to hearing from you, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. That concludes our callers here. Only got a few more minutes left before our show was done, and I appreciate all the participation. Man, I love to hear the success stories. And here's what that should tell you, a listening audience. That should tell you that if other people have done it, then you can do it. If they can do it, you can do it. Everything, success is just a thought. If you put something in your mind, then it's doable. Gene talked about, you know, you put something in your head, just go on YouTube and check it out. It's probably on there on basically how to do it. So we appreciate everyone listening to our cast today. Check out that U.S. World News report on the reasons why you should have multiple streams of income. Don't be scared, y'all. You know, this country was built on entrepreneurship. You can get as much of it as you want. So go out there and get it. Let's create another stream of income. And listen, I'm going to be here every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Feel free to jump on. There's going to be topics like this every single week about entrepreneurship to help you grow your business, your family, and your life. Take care. God bless. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Have a good one.